Anytime we try to control something that doesn't need to be controlled, we introduce suffering into our life. If things have to change for you to accept reality, then you are always going to be in a suffering, unpresent state. We have to be okay with reality as it is. How do we do that? Drop the ego. Accept that you cannot control reality. You're not God. The only person you can control is yourself. You cannot control the seasons. You can control how you prepare for them. So today's topic is how to be present with your family and just how to be present in general, like that, how to be present with your wife, how to be present with your kids, how to be present in every area of your life. This is a topic that many, many guys, I would say over 50% of the guys who talk to me and who want to work with me and who are in our program, it's their thing is I need to be more present, because it's debilitating when you're not. It's scary. You get sad. At the end of the day, you go to sleep at night and you spent the whole day with your family, maybe on a weekend, and then you look back on your day and you say, I wasn't really present today. Being present with your family, this is torturous. I know it was for me. I'm in the process of organizing all my Google Photos. We have 80,000 photos and videos on Google Photos. And if you don't use Google Photos, I would say, man, go do it now. Unless you're afraid of Google knowing everything about you, which is a fact. If you use Google Photos, they recognize your face. Like, I can type in my face. I can type in Chris Rodak on Google Photos, and it recognizes me as a baby 36 years ago, all the way up to right now. It's really freaky. And even if it's like a blurry side of my face, or it recognizes my dog and everyone. But either way, it's an amazing tool, and I can't wait till my kids are older where I'm going to be able to show them basically their entire life and me and my wife and everyone that's part of their life in just a beautiful videos and storylines. Like, I have pictures of myself when I was a kid and my parents and family, but I wish I had so much more. I wish I had video. We have very few videos of myself and our family when we're little. They're on VHSs and boxes. And at one time a couple years ago, I took all of the pictures that in my parents' house, we have just buckets of pictures. You would take them, you'd take them to CVS or wherever, Giant Eagle, and you'd print them out. We just put them in boxes. So we've got just boxes of photos, and I just scanned 4,000 of them, put them on Google Photos. So we have those, but it's not the same as having years and years of video available. So I'm really excited to be able to show that to my kids. I mean, imagine if right now you had hours of video footage from the time you were born up until right now, you interacting with your parents, your pets, your brothers and sisters, just to be able to have that, these important moments, that would be amazing. I would watch that all the time. So I love documenting these things and then organizing it in Google Photos. A little tangent, but anyway. So I was looking, yesterday I'm spending about 30 minutes doing that, because obviously with my content, I use a lot of that. I use a lot of the pictures and videos of my family. So I want it to be a little more organized so I can save some time. So I was going through that, and I was looking at some of the pictures and videos of myself whenever I was more undisciplined, a little sloppier. You know, I was working a job I didn't want to be at. I was overweight, and I wasn't present in those moments, okay? I could see it in my face, and it took me back to those moments. I was looking there, and I would see a specific image. I would see a specific memory of, like, me at the beach or something. And then I would remember what I felt like in that moment. And I remember not being present and then driving home from wherever we were and like hating myself that I wasn't present. Because I felt like I was stealing the experience from my kids and wife when I'm physically there with them, but mentally and emotionally not there with them. Like, I'm there, but I'm not really there. It's a selfish thing to do whenever we steal that from our family. Like, if I'm not present with them, I'm stealing myself from them. And they want me. My wife wants me. My wife wants all of me there. She doesn't want me thinking about something else. My kids want all of me there. They want me to be warm, loving, passionate, on fire, talking to them, and be not thinking about anything else. If I am not, I'm stealing myself from them, and myself, a father who loves them, is what they want more than anything else. So I'm looking at these old photos, and I can see, you know, some of them I'm just joyful and happy. It's not that I was miserable all the time. I talk about that a lot because I know there's guys out there who are in that situation. And I also know that it's possible to get yourself out. I had amazing moments, amazing memories as a father, even whenever I was fat and sloppy. But I'm looking at when I can, since we're talking about presence, I was looking at the specific moments whenever I was like at the beach and I'm just looking pretty nasty. And my wife's taking a picture and video of me because she wants to capture this beautiful moment. But I can see in my face that I'm not really happy that she's documenting this just because of what I looked like. And I could even tell whenever I was trying to smile sometimes, I didn't like smile. On pictures, I didn't have a full smile. I would usually hide my teeth or it wouldn't be a full joy. I was holding in who I really was. That's what it was. I was holding in who I really was as a person because I had this, I don't know, lack of love for myself at that moment. I was always frustrated. Like I posted this morning in my reel, you're either consistently disciplined or consistently frustrated. It was always, I'm going to work out tomorrow. I'm going to get healthy tomorrow. Lasted for an entire decade. And then I would go to the beach and I would remember myself being ripped and in great shape. And I would look at these pictures and videos of myself and say, man, what happened to you? How did you let this happen to you? And who was that guy you used to be? How do you get him back? And then I'd see my son and daughter running around, look at my wife looking beautiful. And then I'd look at myself and as I'm experiencing that, as I'm experiencing like this regret and shame and disappointment in myself, that's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking about those things instead of thinking about my family, instead of thinking about my son, daughter, wife. So when I was looking at these photos and videos, I could see that in my face. I wasn't truly present in the moment. Now, that was my experience for this one situation. You can also not be present because of a failure in business. You didn't close a sale. You didn't close a deal. You didn't get promoted. You got fired. Your boss said you have 30 days left to improve or you're done. You could also be on the beach with your family and be thinking about those things and have that steal your attention. That also happened to me where I wasn't present. Like I've shared many times, we built an ad agency up before COVID. That was my plan for quitting my job, was I'm going to bring this ad agency up. So I built it up to, for me at the time, it was $15,000 a month, which was like four times my teaching salary. So I said, oh, great, I'm going to quit my job and live on Easy Street. Being an entrepreneur. And so I did that under a year, went from zero to 15K a month because I invested in myself. I hired coaches to teach me that. But then COVID happened and I lost every single client, lost every single dollar. And it really made me depressed, stressed, anxious. And my wife will tell you, man, I was really, really hard on myself and she helped lift me up in these times. But I was also not present because I was constantly thinking about how I could fix this, how I could get back on track, how I remember being on dates with her and just constantly talking about this, constantly talking about business, constantly talking about how horrible it was that we lost everything. You know, I can't believe this happened to us. Or being with my young children and at times not being present because I was so upset about this. I was upset about something that happened in the past. And I'm going to go through some strategies of how to free yourself from this kind of mental anguish to where you can truly be present. So anyway, we built the business up. I was planning on quitting my job. We lost everything. And then over the next 8-9 months, I was a little going in and out of being depressed and working myself back up. I wouldn't say I had clinical depression. I would say I get depressed at times, like probably everyone does. You know, you get depressed at times. Because I also know how to get myself out of it. I go to the gym, I start working out. For me, jiu-jitsu is an amazing way for me to get out of any bad feeling. It's, you know, if I'm depressed and I go in and I do 50 squats, I'm not going to be depressed anymore. I'm just going to be in pain and then afterwards I'm going to feel really good about myself. So during this time, yeah, I wasn't present at moments because of this business failure I had. I also need to give myself credit because during this time I also was a really good father and was also very present at times. Since we're talking about how to be present, I'm talking to you about the times I wasn't, and maybe you can relate to it. And if there are specific times when you notice you are not present, like what is the trigger that causes you to not be present? Put that in the comments and we can talk about it. Like what is the I refer to it as a trigger. What's the situation that happens in your life that causes you to not be present? For me, it was, and still is, if I have a failure in my life, something that I consider a failure, you know, a business failure or a personal failure. If I disappoint, when I disappoint myself, that's when I am the most unpresent. Because I'm thinking about it while I'm with my wife, while I'm with my kids. So you have to identify it. The first step in being more present is identifying what makes you not present. So what causes you to not be present? Identify that. And then you can start to say, well, when this happens, I'm not present. So I know this could happen tomorrow, so I'm going to be on guard for that. And then I will be more present. I'll be on guard and I'll write it down that this could happen, and then I'll be more present when it happens. So how do we be more present? Let's go into some tactical strategies we can do. And these are things that have worked for me to bring me back in the moment, to make me present again, and to really make me enjoy my family. And I'm glad I'm figuring this out now when my kids are living with me. I don't want my kids to move out and then finally figure out how to be present. Still good if that's you. Still learn how to be present. But I'm glad I'm figuring it out. So stop thinking about the future and the past. That's the biggest thing. Free yourself from the regret of the past. Free yourself from the shame of the past. Let's talk about that first. And everything I talked to you about so far is that. It's situations that I considered a failure at the time that I now consider hugely beneficial to myself. Situations that happened to you earlier that you have regret for and you have shame for. And because you have regret and shame for those things, they always live in your head. And I use this analogy a lot of trying to push a beach ball underwater so long and so hard that it's taking all of your force, it's taking all of your energy, all of your focus is holding this beach ball underwater. And if we could just let it go, if we could stop trying to control it, the beach ball would pop out of the water and we would be free. And all this space in our brain would be freed up. That's what being present is. It's this thing that we're holding on to that we think defines us that is so traumatic to us. It's just always in our brain. It's always in our heads, taking up space, free rent in our heads. It's just part of our head. It's just there, living. And as long as that's there, we don't have any space to be creative. We don't have any space to be present in the moment. When we're on a date with our wife, whenever we're playing with our kids and we're thinking about this thing that we screwed up on. So it's free yourself from the shame of the past. Free yourself from the regret of the past. It is in the past. It happened. It's actually a beautiful part of your story. Who wants to read a story where there's no failures and mistakes and trauma? No one. You get stronger every single time you're able to overcome one of these things. So first, reframe the story in your own brain. We do this all the time. Guys, and I talk about the difference between just having a fitness plan and a program like we have. And the difference is I can send you a PDF of what to do, bicep curls and what to eat. Honestly, you can Google this stuff for free. You can Google macros. You can go to ChatGPT and say, hey, I'm 180 pounds. I'm this active. Send me a meal plan, a workout plan. You can get that all for free. That's all fine. That's knowledge. The reason guys have breakthroughs, like there's multiple guys in my group who will lose 40, 50 pounds, but at the same time, they'll quit porn. They'll quit alcohol. They'll be the best husbands and fathers they've ever been. One of my wife's best friends, her husband joined our program. She was talking to her and saying, like, my husband is a completely transformed man, and he's been with us for 2 months now. Now, why does that happen? It's because of the emotional and psychological breakthroughs that happen. It's emotional and psychological breakthroughs, not just knowing what to do. Everyone knows what to do, right? You know how to be in shape, right? You know how to be disciplined. But you have something holding you back. You have a beach ball that you're trying to push under the water that needs to break free. And we dig in and we find that. We release that. And then we surround you with supportive people. So there's more to it than just knowing what to do. You have to dig in and find the psychological and emotional barriers. So if you can free yourself from that, you can let that beach ball out of the water, and cut that anchor loose from your life, then you will be free to be present in the moment. And honestly, many, many other parts of your life will start to take off. Many parts of your life will start to take off. You set your sights. Jim Rohn has this beautiful quote. He says, set your sights to be a millionaire and watch the man you become in the process. You know, who do you become in the process of achieving your goals? That's the beautiful part. So cut these things loose from your life. Stop focusing on them. Forgive yourself for them. Forgive yourself for the mistakes that are filling you with shame right now. Also revisit them, reframe them, write a new story about them, and move on. Next one is the fear of the future. This keeps many, many guys stuck. It used to keep me stuck. I now jump into things head first. I jump off the cliff and I figure out how to survive as I'm falling. I will always invest in myself. I will always hire coaches. I will always invest in my business. I will always try jujitsu without knowing what I'm doing. I'll always walk into a group of people I've never met before and introduce myself. That is who I am now. I used to not be like that. I used to be very self-conscious, very awkward talking to people. I used to be very unconfident. I used to be scared to go into new situations in that fear of the future, of a situation that might happen to me, kept me stuck in the person I was. But the person I wanted to be was on the other side of this fear. So the only way I could become the person I am now, the only way I could become the person I wanted to be was if I stopped letting that fear hold me stuck. If I finally got through that fear, that's the only way I was able to break through and leave the man I was behind. I had good qualities, right? I had great qualities. I was always a hard worker. Always had integrity. But there's more things I want in my life. There's more things I want in my life right now. You know, I want the podcast to grow. I want my business to grow. I want to keep on developing. I want to be a better speaker. I want to be a better father, a better husband. I want to show more warmth and love with all parts of my being, even to my dog who just ate one of my books. So there's many parts of myself I want to constantly improve, and there's many parts back then that I wanted to improve as well. And the thing that was keeping me stuck was just always fear. It was, what if someone thinks this? What if someone says this to me? What if I do this and someone thinks it's dumb? It was always, what if blank happens in the future? So I was creating this nightmare scenario for myself that never came true, but I replayed it. There's a garbage truck going up the road. I don't know if you can hear that. I replayed it in my head so many times, I created a monster out of nothing. So I would create monsters out of nothing. And because I replayed it so often in my head, it became real to me. And it was always a fear of the future. So because of that, I was never present in the moment. You know, I wanted to be more warm and loving and dynamic and have more energy when I talked to people, but I couldn't because I was always afraid of, well, if I don't say this right, they're going to think I'm weird. Or I was always kind of be a character. So I was imagining myself in the future. So fear of the future, what if blank doesn't work out, keeps us not present right now. And all these things are horrible self-sabotaging tactics of the devil, of your shadow self, of the resistance, whatever you want to call it, the person that's holding you back from becoming your best. Because if you can become your best, you have a massive ability to impact millions of people. That's what I want for my wife and for my kids, is for them to become their most fulfilled self so that they can have the biggest impact and on the biggest amount of people, and they can feel peaceful, fulfilled, and amazing about themselves. That's what I want for myself. I need to reach my peak so I can have the biggest impact on people. But if I allow silly fears to keep me stuck in place, I'll never be able to reach that. I also won't be present. So fear of the future, shame and regret of the past. When those thoughts fill our head, we are not present now. So bring your mind back to the present. Stop looking for happiness in the future. Be happy now. Look around you. You have an amazing life. If you're a husband, you're a father, you have kids right now, man, this, anyone will tell you, this is the best time of your life. There, I do actually know some people wouldn't say that, but those aren't people I look up to. The people I look up to, the people who I want to be like, they will tell you this time right now is the very best time of your life. And they, you would, 20 years from now, you would want to walk into your life right now and say, thank God for my life right now. I walk in, house is a little messy, okay. House is a little crazy, a little chaotic. My kids are nuts, that's okay. But I look around and, man, I have a wife, I've got a house, I've got a job, I have an income, I have kids. This is beautiful. There's going to be a day when your kids are gone, the house is quiet. You have a dog right now, a pet right now, the pet won't be there. Honestly, you have to think in all seriousness, like what if your spouse passes away before you do? That is going to happen, right? It's either going to be you or them. And this has some Buddhist thought into it, which I do read as well. I read many things. Some of them are Buddhism thoughts. And they say, well, what if everyone you cared about in your life died? Who are you now? And I don't want you to be morose and negative and sad about this. I know that's a sad thought. It's actually an uplifting thought. It's who are you just within you, yourself? Like, what is your identity? That's the man we need to work on. That's the man we need to build up so that we don't need anything to be that shining light. We don't need anything to give energy. You are warmth. Your warmth, your loving. We call it the lighthouse in my program. You are that rock. You just provide warmth, love, and energy for everyone around you despite everything. Everything could go away. But you are still that giver of energy. You're still that giver of life and warmth and love to everyone around you. Let's recap. Stop thinking about the future and the past. Free yourself from the regret of the past. Free yourself from the shame of the past, the fear of the future. Bring your mind back to the present. Look around you right now. You have an amazing life right now. And let's talk about specific situations of where we couldn't be present in relationships. Like say you're not present with your wife. Through talking to many, many people now who suffer from this, a lot of them are not present with their wife because they have not accepted who she is. I will talk to a guy who will say, I want to improve myself so that I can inspire my wife to improve herself. There's some nobleness to that. There's some truth to that. There's some good thoughts in there. It's a good thing. But then I ask, do you love your life? Do you love your wife right now, or are you only going to love her if she changes? Do you actually love your wife right now, or will you only love a changed wife? It's a big distinction. You have to make that distinction within yourself. Like, why are you doing this? Is it for you? Is it so you can become a selfless leader because your wife deserves everything? Because you want to become the absolute best man for her? You want to give everything you have for you? Or are you doing this so that she changes into someone you're capable of loving? It's a big distinction to make. You have to understand the difference between them. And just be honest with yourself, because you have to be honest with yourself and then decide your next plan of action. So if you have not accepted who your wife is, and you always want her to behave differently, you want her to be a different person around other people or with you or with the kids. You wish she mothered differently. You wish whenever she was around your friends, she acted differently. Then you're not going to be present. Okay. We also need to work on accepting people for who they are. And most likely you haven't accepted parts of yourself, which is why you're finding those same faults and flaws in everyone else. So we have to accept who we are. Then we can accept other people for who they are. You have to forgive yourself for your faults so you can forgive other people for their faults. You have to accept yourself for your faults so you can accept other people for their faults. And then you can be more present around other people because you just accept things as they are and you stop having to control everything. You stop finally having to control how other people behave. And then that takes us into the next one, our kids. How to be present around our kids? Well, we do the exact same thing. We want them to behave a certain way. We want them to be people they are not. And only if they are people they are not, then we will show them attention and love. And that's an entire another podcast right there about creating people pleasers and yes men and identity problems. But if we don't accept our children for who they are, then anytime they're They're creating noise. They're irritating us. Like, why are they irritating us? Well, because they're doing something we don't want them to do. Who they are is not satisfactory to us. And there are times when your kids are doing irritating, annoying things that you do have to guide and correct their behavior. You don't want them to be irritating, annoying people when they're older, but you have to be responsible enough. We have to be responsible and smart enough and aware enough to understand, are we being irritated and offended as an emotional reaction, or is this something that they need to stop doing so they're successful in the future? Like, if my son grabbed a metal pan, grabbed a spatula, and just started smashing it in the kitchen, that would be annoying as hell, and I would have him stop doing that. Okay? So I'm annoyed at that situation. In that situation, I told him to stop doing it. If I say early in the day, hey, Nathan, as soon as you get home from school, I'm going to take you out. We're going to go see a movie. And he gets really excited. You know, he gets super excited. So he starts like dancing and making noise and maybe even screaming or yelling. That could be annoying. That might be annoying to me. I might have an emotional reaction to that. That's no good for me. I need to allow him to be himself, to be excited, to truly express who he is as a person. That's whenever I need to not say anything. There's no need for me to guide his behavior. I'm just trying to control the noise. I'm trying to control something that doesn't need to be controlled. Anytime we try to control something that doesn't need to be controlled, we introduce suffering into our life. If things have to change for you to accept reality, then you are always going to be in a suffering, unpresent state. We have to be okay with reality as it is. How do we do that? Drop the ego, accept that you cannot control reality. You are not God. We cannot control things that are happening. Accept them as they are. The only person you can control is yourself. You cannot control the seasons. You can control how you prepare for them. You cannot control what happens to you. You can control your reaction to what happens to you. As soon as you realize that, as soon as you accept that, I still am working on accepting that, then you can be more present in the moment. Because you're not thinking about the sunshine, the wind, how beautiful my life is. You're thinking about, oh, I wish it wasn't this windy. I wish it wasn't this cold. It should, my child shouldn't do that. I wish my wife should do that. Jim Rohn says, don't live in shoulds and shouldn'ts. Only live in reality. If you're always thinking about shoulds and shouldn'ts and I wish things were a certain way, then you're never going to be present. Accept things as they are. Accept your wife for who she is. Accept your child for who they are. Stop wishing they acted different. Love them for their faults. Love your wife, your children, and most importantly, yourself for everything, for your faults. This took me a long time. There's many parts of myself when I was growing up, I was like, man, change this, change this, change this. And there's a healthy way to do that and an unhealthy way to do that. There's healthy shame and toxic shame. If there's parts of you that need fixing, then by all means, fix them. But you have to identify, like, am I shameful about this part of me because it's wrong, or because a parent or someone in authority shamed me for this? Like, if Nathan was excited that I was going to take him to a movie theater and I started yelling at him because he was being loud, then for the rest of his life, he's going to have this shame. He's going to be holding, he's going to live in a cage and feel like he can't express himself. He can't be joyful. How many men out there are cold, silent, and unjoyful? You know, I remember as a young child, like, dancing in the kitchen and being dance. Like, my son, he's just always dancing and laughing and smiling. You can watch videos of him and me interacting. He's just joyful. He's a joyful boy. But I used to be like that as a young child, but part of me changed as I grew up, because I was always, like, fearful of what if, what are people going to think of me? Probably my brothers made fun of me. I came from a big family, so they probably made fun of me for dancing, made fun of me for singing. So I allowed their judgment and my judgment to keep me in a cage. And I'm on a mission to make sure that never happens to my kids. Like, no, you become the absolute fullest version of yourself. So with my eyesight, with my voice, with my face, I never want to offer judgment to them if it doesn't have to happen. Whew, this is a deep one. Another way to be present is, don't be happy because of, be happy now. if you have to be happy because something happens to you, then you can never be present and happy right now. You are hoping that this thing happens to you in the future so you can then be happy in the future. Like, I will be happy if I hit this income. I will be happy if I get this promotion. I will be happy if I can see my abs. I will be happy if blank. And that means you are telling yourself, I will not be happy until this thing happens. You're saying to the world, I will be miserable until this outcome I can't control hopefully happens. I will be happy because of something. No, just be happy in your own body. Be happy who you are. And let me tell you, if you do that, you'll start to love yourself more. You'll start to respect yourself more. You'll be happy more. What do happy people who love and respect themselves do? They become more disciplined. They want to take care of themselves. You'll be at a bar with a friend and you will love yourself so much. You'll want to take care of yourself so much when they say, hey, let's do shots again. You're like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to feel like crap tomorrow because I love myself. I want myself to feel great tomorrow. So what are the things that feel great? In my group, we have our fire list. These are things we do every single day to make us feel amazing. Well, I know that if I wake up early, I work out, I do a cold plunge, I meditate, I journal, I create content, I share my ideas, I feel amazing. And if I drink tonight, I'm not going to be able to do any of the things that I know build me and fill me with purpose, peace, and fulfillment. So no, I'm not going to drink tonight. But if I don't feel good about myself, if I don't love myself, if I don't respect myself, then I don't care if I feel good or not tomorrow. I just want to drown my sorrows and make it all go away. I just want to go to sleep. I just want to go to sleep and hope those bad thoughts go away. Can you share how to free from the past? Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. There's things in my past that I regret. There's things in my past that I'm shameful of that I wish I didn't do, just like every single person. You know, I can remember times whenever I snapped at my son and I wish I didn't. Times I snapped at my wife and daughter, I wish I didn't. I have regret over that moment. But also, it helps me pivot and change for the future. So here's what I have to do. I have to also love that guy, the guy who made the mistake, the guy who made the failure. I also have to say, it's okay, man. You made a mistake. You're not perfect. It's okay that you messed up. It's okay that you had a failure. As long as you learn from it, as long as you learn from it and you continue to grow and you want to change and you want to be a better man, husband, father, then it's okay. So forgive yourself for the past. That's number one. Also, revisit it. We do this exercise in my group where we revisit a time in our past that held us down, a trauma or something, and we have to rewrite the story. So maybe you left a job that you hated, or maybe you were abused, or maybe something horrible happened to you. Maybe you had an overbearing father or mother or something, whatever it was. And in your head for a lot of your life, you thought, man, this thing held me down. I wish this didn't happen to me. Go back and rewrite that for yourself. Say, no, this horrible traumatic thing that I went through, this suffering I went through, was me in the forge. It was the metal being pounded. It was me getting harder. It was me building strength for the future. That's how you reframe it in your head, because it's the truth. Don't lie to yourself negatively. Build yourself up. Forgive yourself. Reframe the story. How to control my anger and frustration. If you are angry and frustrated, then there's something about you that you are not accepting and probably needs worked on. I remember I am the most angry and frustrated. Maybe you can relate to this. I am the most angry and frustrated when I'm unhappy with myself. When I know I, like I said, whenever I snapped at my wife, when I snapped at my kids, when I was impatient, I get that introduces more negative emotions. So I could do something wrong, and instead of accepting it, I come down on myself even harder. And so I will punish myself twice. They call it getting shot with two arrows instead of one. So you do the thing that is, you know, maybe you snap at your son, and then you get madder at yourself. And then your son does the same thing, and you get more impatient. A lot of us are very impatient with our kids, okay? That comes down, that's a deep-rooted problem within yourself. And I say problem in a non-judgmental way. We all have problems. It's a deep-rooted issue. It's a deep-rooted source that you need to dig into. Can be solved. You can solve it, but you have to be honest with yourself and say, why am I having this emotional reaction? When, say your son comes, your son is always doing the same thing that's making you mad. And you just get angry and you get angry and you just wish he was different. You wish he was different. Why? It's probably because he is doing something that disgusts you. And the thing he's doing that's disgusting you is a part of you that disgusts you. The things we get the most impatient about and the most frustrated about are the most accurate reflections of ourself. So with your wife, with your kids, with your employees, you're upset and frustrated. You wish they just wouldn't do that because it's an amplification of ourself. They're doing things that we wish we didn't do. So we're frustrated that they are doing it, but we're so pissed at ourselves that it just multiplies and snowballs into this negative feeling. So as always, if you work on building yourself into a patient, stoic, disciplined, loving, warm person who can take the arrows and not have emotional reactions, over time, your family will start to change because you are the leader. You're at the top. Everything comes down from the top. Your business will change. Your family will change. You will change. Your community will change if you yourself change. So we were talking about happiness. Don't be happy because of, be happy now. Like I will be happy if I hit this income goal. I will be happy if I hit this body weight. I will be happy if my relationship looks like that. And maybe that's true. For a moment you will be happy, but then what? You get to the mountaintop and then what? That's why there's a lot of people who retire, and then once they retire, they're miserable because for 20 years they look forward to retirement. They finally got it. They've got more money than ever. They have no stress, no challenge, and all of a sudden they're not happy. Maxwell Maltz says, a bicycle maintains its equilibrium and balance only if it is in motion. A bicycle only stands up tall and straight if it is moving forward. So goes with men. So goes with everybody. You maintain your equilibrium and forward direction and progress in life only if you are moving forward. Your mental health, your strength, your confidence, it only stays with you if you are moving toward something. So you have to be moving in a direction. You have to be moving towards something in order for you to feel okay. So if you have no challenging goals, if you have no worthwhile goals, you won't feel worthwhile. You need to have life-changing, worthwhile goals in your life. And many of us get complacent. Many of us get a good enough job, and we think our body is good enough. We think our relationships are good enough. So our life changes from that passionate, on fire, pushing ourselves in college and in your 20s mindset to just accepting things as we are in our 30s and 40s. And then we get miserable. Because our bicycle isn't moving forward anymore. We're no longer climbing up the mountain. We're just looking back at the person we once were, and we are okay. And guess what? The majority of your life is still yet to be lived. No matter how old you are, no matter what level of success you have, you still have to have massive goals for yourself. Life-changing goals. And if you yourself are very accomplished and you find yourself getting miserable, then maybe your next phase, maybe your next goal is lifting someone else up. Maybe it's grabbing someone else from where you once were and pulling them to you right now. You know, pulling someone out of the pit and lifting them up. Maybe that's your next challenge in life. Here's some tactical things you can do to be more present that I have found, okay? Some just easy tactical things you can do to be more present right now. That is organization. If I am unorganized, I will not be present in the moment. I just won't be. If I have emails that are unanswered, messages that are unanswered, tasks that I haven't checked off my list, when my kids come home, they come in the door, I'll be like, yeah, hey, and then I want to run back to my laptop to finish up what I was doing. Why does that happen? Because I didn't time block the day ahead. Because I didn't have a morning routine. I didn't have an evening routine. I didn't have transitions during the day. Because I let myself slip, then my family has to suffer. That's how that happens. If I'm not professional and disciplined throughout the day, and especially in the evening when I'm planning the next day, then my family gets a lesser version of myself. Jim Rohn says, don't start your day until it's finished. that means you don't start your day until it's planned, until you have the beginning to the end, or else you wake up chaotically. You don't know what you're doing, and you're not present with anyone. You're not present with your employees. You're not present with your wife, with your kids, or with yourself. You could be walking through the woods and thinking about what you have to do. Maybe you have 30. Like for me, I time block breaks into my day. Sometimes that's taking a walk with my dog and getting some cardio in. I want to be present in that moment. I don't want to be thinking about stuff I didn't organize. So time block, schedule, be organized. Procrastination makes you unpresent. Whenever you put off things you know you have to do, because once again, you're thinking about the future. And then you're also thinking about the past. You're thinking, I wish I would have done that yesterday. Don't worry, I'll do it tomorrow. So you're thinking, I wish I did that yesterday. Don't worry, I'll do it tomorrow. And here you are in the middle. But then tomorrow comes and that whole thing moves up a day. You never get to tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. I was talking to this awesome guy at my gym who I want to work. I want him to work with us at some point. He's just an awesome guy. Former pro bodybuilder. Just great guy. Father, husband. He said he was trying to get a fellow teacher who was extremely overweight and undisciplined, trying to get him to get in shape. He's like, I got him to lose 40 pounds. He did it. And then he just immediately went back to his weight, 320 or whatever it was. And that was like 2 years ago. So he kept on trying to get him to come back to the gym. And he kept on saying tomorrow, tomorrow. That was 2 years ago. Tomorrow, tomorrow. And he said, tomorrow never came. Tomorrow never came. It's been 2 years now. He lost 40 pounds with me. And then he went back to his old habits. I could never get him. He said, I'm not a babysitter. I'm not going to drive to his house, handcuff him, and drag him to the gym. So it's the sad part. No matter what, you can try to help as many people as you possibly can. You can have the best intentions. Some people will not change, and it's sad. But you also, this might sound ruthless, you also have to move on. Because if I spend 100% of my time on someone who is not ready to change, that time could have been spent on people who are ready to change. So I can either help no one or I can help two people, right? So this one person who's not ready to change, I could go after them, keep following them, keep trying to get him to change his ways for a day and nothing happens. Or two people are like, I need you. I need to change right now. I could help those two people. And in the same amount of time, two people get their lives improved instead of zero. So you have to eventually move on and help people who need helped. That's how you can have your greatest impact. How do I create trauma-less childhood for my children? It's not going to happen. Your children will have trauma. So don't say, how can I eliminate trauma from their lives? Say, whenever they experience trauma, how can I better guide them? Because if you try to steal all trauma from your child, you're saying, I want to steal failure from their life. And what's the greatest teacher? Failure. There's two types of very successful people. There's very successful people who steal all the challenges from their children, and their children end up fat, miserable, and on drugs. And there's other successful people who say, no, I'm not going to give you a dime, but I will teach you how to earn it. And those children end up taking over the business and 10xing their dad's income and revenue and just expanding everything. Two different types of people. If you steal the challenges and failures and traumas from your children, you're stealing their most valuable teachers. It's painful to watch it go through, but it's also beautiful. It's also, you're watching them grow. I remember with my daughter, she had a birthday party one time, and it was soul crushing to watch, and it made me cry. And my wife, we were just very sad to see, but it was also a beautiful lesson. She had a birthday party, 4 or 5 years old, something. She invited a bunch of friends over, a bunch of girls. Maybe it might have been 6, I remember. But this was her very first birthday party where she saw some of the mean girl thing, where some of her friends that she thought were her best friends started to say mean things about her to other girls to make her feel bad at her birthday party. Very first time in her life she ever experienced this. In her brain, like her world came crashing down, because in her brain, her brother loved her, her father loved her, her mother loved her, her friends loved her, her teachers loved her, everyone loved her. And then all of a sudden she got her feelings hurt for the first time. And I just, she sat alone. And my daughter's a super outgoing, amazing, brilliant, outgoing girl. And I just watched her. Like, she said she wanted her party to be over. So that crushed me. It clearly hurt my soul watching that happen. And I said, Lauren, I didn't steal her from this. I didn't end the party, kick the kids out, and do that. I said, no, this is a beautiful moment right now. I said, let me guide you through this. So I said, what are you feeling right now? She was like, lonely, sad, angry. I said, that's okay. You're allowed to feel that. You should feel that. Why do you feel that? And we dug in. I dug in why she felt that, what she was feeling. And then I said, guess what? Some people are like that sometimes. And we also worked on forgiveness. Because I said, your friends that said these mean things to you, they're not like that all the time. They're not mean all the time. Maybe they're having a really bad day. Maybe they're going through something really bad. I said, sometimes do you say mean things to your brother and you don't mean it? She's like, yeah. Sometimes does he say mean things to you and doesn't mean it? Yeah. I said, well, maybe they're going through that right now. So let's assume the best, but also let's work on you standing up for yourself. Let's work on you being independent and confident. So we worked on that. I said, when they say that again, you're gonna stand up for yourself and say, don't talk to me like that. That's rude. That's mean. Don't beat around the bush. Don't be passive aggressive. Say, don't talk to me like that. And she did. And 10, 15 minutes later, she was happy they were all playing together. So because we didn't steal this trauma from her, she leveled up as a person with proper guidance from her father. That's what we have to do. We have to offer our kids guidance through these moments. I did an entire podcast about failure and how I used failure to guide my son. I don't know what number it is, but I think it's like my son wins gold or something. But we went to a jiu-jitsu tournament, tons of kids. He lost the first four matches in a row, and I guided him through his extreme trauma he was feeling and sadness because he just came off of a tournament where he won double gold in seven straight submissions, and he just dominated. He came off of that tournament to this next tournament where he lost four straight matches in a row, and he was like, I want to leave. I want to go home. And he was just crushed. His identity was shattered. And I was able to guide him through those emotions to come back and win gold in no-gi the second half. If I would have stolen that trauma and failure from him instead of guided him through it, he would not have leveled up. And he emotionally, personally, he would not be as strong as he is right now. So do not steal trauma from your kids. Guide them through it. Use it. It's a beautiful tool. Failure, trauma is a beautiful thing. But guys, that's it for this. So if you have any questions, anyone talk at all, just send me a DM on Instagram. Thanks, guys. This was great. I'll talk to you soon.